indicates to us that we are detecting a variety of layers in the mare areas.
Specifically, they're seeing the hot spots west of Copernicus?
Jack, I don't have it on the page in front of me here. We're going to check into it, and I'll get back to you in a second. Jack, this is Houston. With regard to your questions on the hot spots, apparently they've not yet indexed these warmer sources that they're detecting to the DSM ephemeris, and so they don't know exactly what they correspond to as far as the surface features themselves go. So I can't help you on that right now.
Okay, Joe, just curious.
Jack, tell him you handed me some numbers which I think you'll be interested in. Under the EVA 2 EMU summary, the elapsed EVA time was 7 hours plus 37 minutes plus 22 seconds for a new outdoor record under international rules. The rest of the sheet looks free from problems in a comforting way. Let's see, average metabolic rates for Eugenio, 855. And Jack, you're running at around 920. That's relative to pre-mission averages of around 850. And you have a grand total EVA time now of 14 hours, 49 minutes, and 35 seconds.
Very interesting numbers, Joe. Do you have any idea how the metabolic rate compared to yesterday?
Good question. Let me ask on that one. Yesterday you were running at 1045 and 1090, so you're down considerably from your work rates of yesterday, which is good news. Maybe you're learning how to do it more easily or something like that.
Yeah, but we spent a lot of time riding today and a lot of time working yesterday.
That's true. That I guess that's not taken into the consideration of the average here. Certainly true. We can ask for the metabolic rate of the rover. I bet that's pretty impressive for today.
Well, don't get me wrong. Driving a rover is fun, but I'll tell you, it keeps your attention.
I'm sure it does.
It keeps your passenger's attention, too.
I'm sure it does. We noted some comments when you were rolling along today, reading between the lines from time to time.
Actually, Joe, for good long bands of the run up to station two, except when we had to pick our way up the hole in the wall, I was running full bore at anywhere from, I guess, what did I say, 10 to 12 to 15 clicks. I didn't hit 15 going up very much. Coming down, I did. But it's really a standby for turn and watch where you're going type of run. Because the small craters according to what they can really jolt you. But the trouble is, you can't, you can never see what's just over the next ridge, and the next ridge may be 20 meters away, and you just can't see it until you're there. You don't know whether it's a dish crater or whether it's a pit crater.
Roger, Gene, we copy that.
Go
ahead.
That description fits the geology up in there, because we weren't seeing blocky rim craters. And otherwise, you've been able to tell more easily about the old versus the new craters, which would be the ones you could either go through or not go through, respectively.
Roger.
That's a super machine to drive, though, Joe, I'll tell you. If you had enough time, you could really learn to take it all the way, but you don't really do that just the second time around.
You know, was it spraying dirt at you today? Could you did you notice that you still missed the real fender, and that the patch fender wasn't quite doing what maybe it could?
No, sir, I don't think we missed it at all. Fact is, we're recommending the design change, Joe.
That'll be for next year's models.
Hey, Joe, is it all right to use the waste management system?
Raj, we're happy with those demand regs now, and you can proceed on with that, and including all the FLIS recharges that you need to do as well.
Joe, we're filling my place with water now. You might check on the water quantity.
Roger, thank you.
Joe, that should take care of my place for tonight.
Okay, Gene, thank you. Out of curiosity, have you packed, or are you packing the ETB now?
Yeah, Jack's doing it right now.
Okay, we've got a last-minute change. We show that your Mag Bravo is at about 77 frames, and we'd like for you to just leave it in the ETB. It's already in the ETB, and take it out with you tomorrow. We can shoot up the remaining frames if we run out of film otherwise.
Okay, fine. It goes along with our thinking.
You know, apparently you made some comment earlier in the day about being bothered by comm noise during your egress from Challenger. Did that go away right away, or did it just cease to bother you, or what was the story on that?
I don't remember. So it must have gone away because the comm was great.
Okay, that's what we kind of assumed.
Okay, we're charging Jack's place with oxygen.
Sounds good.
Houston Challenger, the O2 is complete on O2 fill is complete on LMP FLIS, and we're working on the water.
Roger. Bellinger for information. We're coming up on a comm handover in about a minute and a half.
This is Apollo Control at 151 hours, 46 minutes. Jack Schmidt and Gene Cernan appear to be completing the last few items on their checklist before getting to sleep. We hope to get them to bed within an hour, maybe even a bit less, which would put them about an hour behind the nominal flight plan. Ron Evans aboard America is now in his 33rd revolution of the moon. That spacecraft currently in an orbit 69.3 by 53.6 nautical miles. Evans began an 8-hour sleep period at 146 hours 40 minutes ground elapsed time, which is right on the flight plan, and he's scheduled to end that sleep period at 154 hours 40 minutes. The pan camera, mapping camera, and laser altimeter in the CSM scientific instrument module bay have been turned off. The infrared scanning radiometer and the ultraviolet spectrometer are both in the operating mode during the sleep period. And data indicates nominal performance for both.
We copy it.
The weather got down there any better?
Gino, the weather is better. We were really sucked in yesterday. The front's moved on through the Houston area, and it's cold and clear tonight, I suspect. It's been a while since we've been out, but they're calling for it to go down right near freezing.
Okay, thank you.